This morning, it was funny. I was praying for our church a couple of weeks ago, and God just dropped this sweet whisper. You know when he just drops something into your spirit, just the sweet whisper, a revelation into your heart, and he highlights something that perhaps you've already known, but he does so in a way that's really profound, and it's undeniably from him. So that happened to me a couple of weeks ago. I was praying for our church, but I was also praying for the church as a whole. I guess now more than ever, I'm aware that the church is full of humans. We're full of individuals. We're full of people who are real, and we muck up. We do. And the word dropped into my season, which I believe is for us as a whole here at this church. It's a word for us as the church, but specifically it's for us as individuals within the church. And the thought was, I see you. I said it was simple. I see you. I am a God who sees, who cares, and who hears. We can all feel at times that we are on the outside, that we're lost, that we're walking through life floundering, not knowing which way we're going, because no one understands what we've been through. No one understands the pain that we've been carrying. Perhaps it hasn't been acknowledged by others, and we're just wanting it to be acknowledged by others, as though we continue to carry something that's not ours to carry. It could be something that you've been carrying for just a short time, or perhaps you've actually carried it for years and years and years, and you don't even know that you're still carrying it because you've just got used to that weight of holding it. It's just part of you. It could be one thing that happened. It could be a series of events that have happened. It could be self-inflicted, or it could be others inflicted. And this pain, this hurt, whatever it is, causes us to feel like we're on the outside and that we don't have that true sense of belonging and that true sense of identity. It stops us from living in the calling that God has purposed for us. And it also means that as hurting people, we then hurt people. But God is a God who sees, he hears, and he cares, and he also bears. He bears that pain. So the Bible is truly beautiful, and I know I've touched on this many times before, but it's beautiful in the way that the stories are told and communicated. And it's made even more beautiful when we read the Bible in the way that it was intended to be read, and that is through the lens of Jesus. Jesus was there at the beginning, he'll be there at the end, and he is who the Bible points to throughout it all. The way we read the Bible greatly impacts on our understanding of who God is. And that is why within the church as a whole, we have so many different theologies and opinions because of the way that we interpret and we read the Bible. But we must always read the Bible. We must always read the Bible through the lens of Jesus. And when we do that, the stories of the Old Testament and the New Testament actually marry up so beautifully. And obviously we get the full revelation of who Jesus is, who God is when we look at the life of Jesus. But today I want to look at the stories of two people, one from the Old Testament and one from the New. Both of these people were outsiders, both who have been lost. They've lost their sense of identity, but they've both been transformed by the love of a God who sees. So our reading today we're taking out of Genesis. Genesis 16, verse 15. I'm not going to read through the whole chapter. I'm not going to read through it all. I'm just going to take two verses, verses 15 and 16. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. But I do encourage you to go back and read through the whole story of Sarah, Abram, and Ishmael. So the Bible tells us the story of Israel, the people of Israel and their God Yahweh and their Messiah Yeshua. Obviously the Messiah is for the whole world, but the Bible tells us the story almost always from a Jewish point of view. Almost always. There are some stories within the Bible that show us that while salvation is from the Jews, it is for the whole world. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. The Bible does not allow us to think of it as an us and them when it comes to salvation. There is no us and there is no them. We cannot get comfortable reading the Bible thinking that it is just for us who are in, because there will always be a Hagar, and there will always be a Rahab, and there will always be a Ruth. Stories told about outsiders, and these stories evoke within us the sense of compassion. And often these stories are about a woman, someone in those times and in that society who was seen as less than, lower, disempowered, voiceless. But the Bible tells these stories. These stories are included in the Bible because these voices need to be heard. So we're going to look at the story of Hagar today. Hagar was an Egyptian woman. She was not a Hebrew. She was born in Egypt, and she was a slave. She was the property of Abraham and Sarah. Sarah and Abraham had gone to Egypt from Canaan during a time of famine, and whilst they were there, they got Hagar as their slave. So she was not her own. She was the property of somebody else, and she was taken away from her homeland, away from her family, away from everything that she had ever known, into a foreign land to live with foreign people. She, in fact, was Sarah's slave, and her role was to tend to Sarah's every need and do as Sarah instructed her to do. That was her purpose, that was her life, that was her whole existence. And at this point, Sarah is in her 70s, and Hagar is in her 20s. So can you identify with her loneliness? Living with an elderly couple in a foreign land, where she is not her own person, she is the property of somebody else. Now, God had given a promise to Abraham that he would bear a son, and through him he would be the father of nations. But here we are, and Abraham is in his 80s, and Sarah is in her 70s. So Sarah comes up with a plan. She's thinking, hang on, I mean, any 70-year-olds out there? We're not thinking babies, all right? Sarah comes up with a plan. And she goes to Abraham and she says, we could use Hagar. We could use my slave. You could go into her tent and, you know. So Abraham, being the good man that he was, went away and prayed about it. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. He went to Hagar's tent. But let's look at this from Hagar's point of view. She didn't ask for any of this. She didn't ask for any of this. She didn't ask to be a slave. She didn't ask to be taken away from to a foreign land to live with foreign people. She didn't ask for an old man to come inside her tent one night. She didn't ask for any of that. Now, when Sarah did this, when she came up with this plan, she said that she would give Hagar as a wife. So here it becomes confusing. She used the word wife. Now that Hagar is pregnant, does that mean her status is increased as Abraham's second wife, or is she still Sarah's slave? Regardless, the tension increases between her and Sarah, and we all saw that coming. Sarah is now jealous of Hagar. So Sarah goes to Abraham, and she complains, and she complains, and she complains, and Abraham turns it back on her and says, well, she's your slave, do with her what you want. And we are told that Sarah treats Hagar harshly. That's the word that's used again, harshly. Now, I'm not sure what the difference between Hagar's treatment before she got pregnant and after is, but we know that life would have been extremely difficult, unbearable for Hagar, and we know this because up until this point she has never made a free choice out of her own free will, but here she makes a choice for the first time out of her own free will, and she chooses to run away. She chooses that this, I cannot bear this any longer. She is escaping. She's had enough. She's gone. She's done with it. So she runs back and to her homeland. That's where she's heading. She's heading back to Egypt, to what she knows, to where her family live, to where she's from. And along the way, she stops at a well to have a rest. And there, the angel of the Lord comes to her and asks her a question. The angel of the Lord asks her, "Hagar, where have you come from and where are you going?" Now we know that God knew where Hagar had come from, and we know that God knew where she was going. But the angel of the Lord said, "Hagar, where have you come from and where are you going?" This is the first time that someone wants to know her story. This is the first time that someone is interested in her and wants to hear her story with her voice. Where have you come from? What have you been through? What are your struggles? Where are you going? What are your dreams, Hagar? Tell me more. What are you wanting for your future? Hagar shares with the angel of the Lord, and the Lord says, "Hagar, I need you to go back. I want you to go back. You are pregnant with a boy, and you're going to name him Ishmael, which means the God who hears." So Hagar has the second free choice to make here. She can continue where she was going, back to Egypt, or she can choose to obey the Lord, and she chooses to obey the Lord. But before she leaves, she names the well that she was sitting at. Beer Laharoi, the God who sees me. The God who sees me. When nobody else was interested, when no one else cared about her story, God was interested in her. God saw her pain. He saw her suffering. "I see you, Hagar. I see you." So Hagar makes the choice, and she chooses to obey, and she chooses to go back to Abraham and Sarah. And when she is back there, Ishmael is born. Abraham's first son, Ishmael, which means the God who hears. So they continue living there for another 14 years. And after 14 years, God fulfills his promise to Abraham, who is now Abraham, that Sarah will become pregnant at the age of 90, no less. And Abraham was 100. So Abraham now has two sons. He's got Ishmael and he's got Isaac. On the day that Isaac was weaned, Abraham holds this great feast, this great celebration. And we're told that at this celebration, at this feast, Ishmael teases, mocks his younger brother. It's been known to happen, right? But Sarah sees this, and she's annoyed, and she's frustrated, and she's angry. And she goes to Abraham, and she tells him, "You need to get rid of that slave woman and her child." That's what she said, "that slave woman and her child." Let's not forget that Hagar has been living with Abraham and Sarah for over 20 years, and Sarah won't even call her by name. That slave woman and her child. Get rid of them, take them away, be gone with them. I do not want them around us anymore. So early the next morning, Abraham goes to Hagar in Ishmael's tent. He takes some food, he takes some water, and he sends them on their way. Doesn't seem fair, does it? Doesn't seem just. Hagar and Ishmael head south, and we are told that they wandered in the wilderness. Familiar phrase. They wandered in the wilderness. Their water runs out and they are lost. Wandering, lost, dying of thirst. Ishmael's lips are cracked. He can hardly stand up and he is near death by dehydration. Hagar's heart is in agony. She cannot bear to see her son like this. So she goes down and she puts Ishmael over here and she wanders about 50 meters away because she cannot bear to see her son die. She hears Ishmael crying, and she too begins to cry. But God sees, and God hears, and God cares. And for the second time, he sends an angel. And the angel says to Hagar, "Don't be afraid. It's going to be all right. You're okay. It's going to be okay. Get up. Get up." And when Hagar gets up, she sees a well that she had not seen before. She sees a well in the distance. She hadn't seen it there before, but she sees it now. She hadn't seen the solution before, but now when she gets up, she sees the solution. That's a word for someone right now. They go to the well and they are saved. And they continue on their journey and they make it back to their promised land, to Egypt. And Ishmael becomes the father of another great people, the Arabs. In the next book of the Bible, we see a similar story, but on a larger scale. Here, the Hebrews are in slavery to the Egyptians. It's the other way around. The Hebrews are in slavery to the Egyptians. They are worked hard against their free will. They are the property of the Egyptians, and they didn't choose for that to be their existence. God speaks to Moses, and through him, the Hebrews escaped. They spend years walking through the wilderness, thirst and hunger, before reaching their promised land. The point here is God saw the Israelites. He heard the cry of their heart and he cared for them. But God also saw Hagar. He saw Hagar. He saw the Israelites. So what does this all mean? It means that God does not see ethnicity and he does not see nationality. He sees suffering. He cares about suffering people no matter who they are. God saw Hagar at the well, and 2,000 years later, God saw another woman at the well. An outsider, a Samaritan, divorced many times, currently living with a man who is not her husband. You know, I imagine Jesus sitting at that well. He was weary from his journey, and he just needed a bit of refreshment. He was sitting there at the well. And this woman comes full of shame, expecting not to see anybody, hoping not to see anybody, to quickly get her water and head back on her way, not giving eye contact to Jesus, not speaking, hunched over. And I believe Jesus would have said, "I see you. I see you." He saw her, he talked to her, he listened to her, and he gave her living water. Now we need to understand from a cultural and a society point of view, this was so wrong. The disciples knew how wrong it was. They were shocked. She was a Samaritan. Jews and Samaritans did not mix. She was a Samaritan. She was a woman. She was a divorced Samaritan woman. An outsider, a no hope. Hoper, she was voiceless, should be seen as voiceless. But Jesus saw beyond all this. He saw beyond her gender. He saw beyond her ethnicity. He saw beyond her multitude of mistakes, and he saw her. He saw her. Can I tell you now, the same is for you? The same is for us. The same is for all of us as individuals. God sees us. He doesn't see you with judgment and wrath. He doesn't see you with condemnation. He sees beyond what others may see, and he sees beyond what others may say about you. He sees beyond perhaps your multitude of mistakes. He sees beyond what can limit and chain you. We just sang about chains being broken. We're going to see chains being broken here today because he sees beyond all that. He sees beyond what happened to you. He saw what happened to you. He knows what happened to you. But he sees beyond that, whether it was your own fault or whether it was inflicted upon you. He sees your suffering when no one else does. He sees beyond what you are currently carrying. Because we're all broken people and we all fall short. But we don't need to be carrying that. If we're going to be an army that rises up, if we're going to see revival, if we're going to fulfill the great commission of loving God and loving people, we need to break those chains and we need to stop what's limiting us and we need to let go of what we've been carrying for so long. We need to let go of that hurt. We need to let go of that pain. We need to let go of that disappointment. God is saying to you, he sees you. He sees that pain and that suffering. He hears the cry of your heart and he cares. He sees, he hears, and he cares. And he came from heaven to earth to bear that. So this morning, this is our Be'er Laharoi. This is our well. This is our well where God is saying to us, get up. Get up. Dust yourself off. Drink from the living water. So as the band come and as they play, and as we worship, if you know you're carrying something that's not yours to carry anymore, whether it's been something you're still carrying because you know it hasn't been acknowledged by others, I want to pray for you. It might not be acknowledged by others, but God sees it. If there's pain, if there's disappointment, if there's hurt, if there's anguish, if there's relationships that are just causing you grief, this is your Be'er Laharoi. This is where God is meeting you today and where he just wants to love on you, to know that you are seen. He saw Hagar. He saw the Israelites. He sees suffering. He is the God who cares. He is the God who sees. He is the God who hears, and he wants to bear it for you so that you no longer have to carry it and you can live your life to the full. Amen.